Welcome to the That Healing Feeling podcast. I'm your host, Faith Ashenden, founder and CEO of That Healing Feeling, where we show you how to become a self-healer of mind, body, and spirit through nervous system regulation. Join me and thousands of my other students as I dive into the world of neuroscience, subconscious programming, energetics, and radical self-love. In this podcast, you will learn that your body and mind are meant to heal, and that under the right circumstances, we can experience miraculous healing by leveraging our own internal infrastructure. Let me guide you as we challenge preconceived notions and outdated narratives and dive into the empowering world of self-healing. My intention is that you leave this podcast full of hope and actionable tools. So without further ado, let's dive in. Hello and welcome back to the That Healing Feeling podcast. I am so glad you're here for a very special episode. You already know that I'm interviewing one of my Health Transformation Accelerator graduates, Hannah Grant. These episodes are so fun and so special because you get to hear someone's healing story. I am all about providing you evidence that healing is possible, that everyone has the infrastructure to do it. And what better way to do that than to bring you testimonies of people who have just done it? I am so excited for this episode because Hannah, among being brilliant and kind and empathetic, does a really fantastic job of breaking down exactly what it takes to do the work. We dive into her experience releasing some trauma during HTA, what it was like for her, and she really goes deep into it and what it took to be able to do that and how she feels now after that had been released. We talk about what it looks like to do the internal work, like not just do the work, but she breaks down the step-by-step guide of how she did this and change her perspective so that she could regulate her nervous system and heal. She went from bedridden to boxing, you guys, from sick and getting infusions to getting her life back and feeling empowered. She is an inspiration, and our interview had me feeling goosebumps the entire time she was talking. I am so excited for you to hear this episode and to feel inspired and empowered all at the same time. All right, you guys, let's dive in. Well, thank you so much, Hannah, for making the time to come here on the podcast and share your testimony. I know it's like so early for you and like nearing the end of day for me as it usually is, but I really, really appreciate you being here.
Absolutely. Yes. I just want to say thank you for having me. I'm really excited to share my story and hopefully inspire a lot of people.
Absolutely. These testimonies are so, so powerful. And I think when you're sharing your story, like you don't know exactly how many people you're actually touching and inspiring. And, you know, we'll put your Instagram or whatever contact information you want there so people can reach out and let you know. But yeah, it's really a beautiful space. So I'm really, really excited to dive into it. And of course, just for anyone listening, Hannah was obviously on the most recent HTA cohort. So we're literally like a week out of the cohort. So we basically just finished. We've been together for the past actually like a little over 2 months. So it's all like really fresh for you, I know. And we took a little bit of a different direction with this cohort. We added a WhatsApp group. We added some additional implementation videos. So this is going to be also just like interesting to kind of hear at the end some of your thoughts and kind of that community aspect, like what it meant and what it felt like for you. But I think before we dive into any of that, I would love to just like hear about you, like tell us and everyone who's listening, like what is your story and what landed you in my Health Transformation Accelerator program and like from start to finish.
Okay. Yeah, I'm ready. Well, first I heard about your program through a TikTok. I was just scrolling, super random. It came up in like December, right around Christmas time. There was you know, a promotion going on for y'all. And I was like, gosh, I don't know if this is something that I want to do, but it definitely, in that moment spoke with me. And I was like, you know what, if I'm still thinking about it in a couple weeks, then I will look into it a little bit more and give it a go. And then of course I just couldn't stop thinking about it. And I tried to go back and like look at the TikToks to see which one it was that like initially grabbed my attention, but I couldn't pinpoint what that moment was for me. And I just said, you know what, I've tried all the things and this is something that resonates with me. So I'm just going to do it. And as I've been in the program and I'm learning more about my mind and body and everything, I, you know, put that connection together as far as like the nervous system and its function and the purpose and what it does for you. And I am an occupational therapist, so I have many different classes that I've taken as far as, you know, the medical side and all that stuff. So I was familiar with the nervous system, but I had never made that direct connection with my own being. And so we'll take it back to the very beginning. I was a preemie baby. I was born 5 weeks early. And my left collarbone broke when I was 7 weeks old. I had open heart surgery when I was 2. And I had laser eye surgery when I was 3. And from then on out, my childhood always felt like I couldn't catch up to my peers. You know, I was always behind in school. I was super self-conscious. I didn't feel like I fit in. My mom tells me stories of coming to her and being like, "Mommy, my brain isn't working." And so it's just been, you know, since the get-go. And I think that that's one of those connections that I'm talking about is like, I've never correlated my nervous system dysregulation having started out that young, like literally from the get-go. And so it's definitely allowed me to put the pieces together and kind of be more gentle with myself and not so harsh, because before the program, my mind was just like riddled with this negative stream. It was just constant of just, you know, me shaming myself for certain things and not fully understanding. And, you know, why has my life had to be this way and so hard at times. And so I never fully understood that, but I can directly link all of my physical presentations and how this nervous system dysregulation has manifested itself in my body from day one and what that looks like. And so I've had psoriasis for as long as I can remember. You know, you have your acne starting to take over around, you know, teen years, and you think it's just your hormones, and mine stuck around. I've had anxiety for as long as I can remember. Just little things like that, sleep issues. And then that leads me to my diagnosis of an autoimmune condition called dermatomyositis in 2018. And that's kind of where things turned for me. You know, I always considered myself healthy, you know, but this was the kicker, and this set it all out. So it was March of 2018. I was in my undergrad and it was spring break. And within a week, I was unable to lift my arms up above my head. And it was not necessarily pain with movement. It was more so just weakness. And that progressed to me not being able to physically lift myself up out of bed or shower myself or dress myself, all within a span of a month. And I had lost 15 pounds of muscle within that time frame. And of course, that's at the end. If anyone knows how college works, you know, you've got your finals coming up and that's already stressful enough. You want to finish out the semester strong. And it was just every day I was battling with my body and I couldn't understand why. I was 24 years old at the time. And I was just looking for answers. And so having those people in our cohort now that have been on similar paths with their struggles and everything, it really helps to know that someone understands, because during that time, I didn't feel like anyone fully understood what I was going through. And, you know, I distinctly remember my brother and sister being like, oh, you know, she's just faking it. She's being dramatic, which, you know, I had a tendency to be a little extra at times, but I would not have wished what I was going through on my worst enemy. It was awful. And so I was basically just trying to survive the day and get through it as best as I could until I had my answers. I was, you know, Googling every single symptom, trying to put a name to what was going on. I ran into, you know, like lupus and fibromyalgia. And so my symptoms were not only just the muscle wasting, but I had red, puffy, itchy cuticles at my nail beds. My nails were starting to pit. And I thought that was related to my psoriasis, because my scalp is where my psoriasis was. And at that time, I was having one of what I thought was the worst flare-ups that I had ever had with, as my psoriasis is concerned. And so I just thought, okay, maybe that's somehow related and that's what's going on. And it turns out I got the diagnosis of dermatomyositis with a muscle biopsy to my left thigh. And that's when I started figuring out, you know, what medication cocktail was going to work best for me. And as anyone knows, with a chronic illness or autoimmune, not everything works for everybody. And it may work for you for a little bit and it may stop working for you. And so that's where that journey began. And now I've gotten it to the point of getting biologic infusions every 6 months to keep my immune system suppressed to where it doesn't continue to attack itself. And I think that that was also one of the driving forces for me to join this program, was I don't want to have to be on infusions anymore. I want my body to function properly and how it was intended to. And so through everything that I've learned through the program, I can confidently say that my life is so much different just in the short amount of time that we were with each other, just in my outlook, just from the moment that I wake up in the morning and how I go about my day and the thoughts that enter my mind. And I feel more in control, which I've never felt before. I've always felt out of touch and, you know, kind of waiting for the ball to drop and, you know, okay, well, what's next, you know? And so it's changed my perspective. I'm seeing the world through a different lens, and one that I never really thought that I would be able to do. You know, you put yourself in this box, and once you start to realize that you're the one limiting yourself from this growth and healing, it kind of changes the game. And so I was working through all of my medications that I was on prednisone for months and months and months. And that's one of those drugs where you don't just quit taking. So we had to taper down and see if my body was going to handle that easily. And it did. And so I was thankful for that. And, you know, just navigating what my new normal would look like after going through something like that. And from the very beginning, you know, I saw a doctor at Vanderbilt, and I think that we are, as far as the medical advice that we receive from those professionals, we are all trusting, and we just automatically assume that they know everything and that this is going to be it. Like, whatever they say, I'm going to do, and I'm going to follow that. And my intuition from the beginning with that initial doctor, you know, she was like, no, diet doesn't really have to do with autoimmune. And immediately at that point, I knew that I was going to be looking for a different doctor, because I did not align with that. That was not something that I thought was true. So I ended up at an amazing rheumatologist in Nashville, and I've been with him ever since. And I'm grateful for everything that he has done for me. And I think now I have the tools that I need to continue my healing journey and not have to rely so heavily on, you know, the medication side of things, rather than just asking my body what it needs and listening and then doing that. And, you know, that task alone can be very scary, and it's a trust thing. Your body doesn't know the difference between a big event and a small event. It's just how you perceive it, how you experience it in that moment. And there's so much that happens on the cellular level and the chemicals being released and just in that moment, what's going on internally, and you're making those connections. And so just a lot going on, but working through old trauma and kind of pinpointing, okay, well, when did these symptoms start for me? You know, when did I start feeling this way? And that's why I traced it back all the way to the beginning, because I believe that from the get-go, my nervous system has been driven by my sympathetic nervous system state. And that's that constant fight or flight. And I was just talking with a good friend of mine the other day, and she said, Hannah, I don't remember a time where you weren't ready to fight. Like, you have just always been on. You've always been just ready to go. And I didn't ever make that connection. So it's like, yeah, I guess you're right. Like, that's just how things have always been. And I just accepted it and thought that that's how it was. And so now it's almost like I'm training my parasympathetic nervous system, you know, to kind of come to light and do what it needs to do to be able to function properly, and kind of nurture it and give it what it needs to be able to do that. And so it's an exciting journey. I'm doing a lot of different things in my everyday routines and rituals and changing things up a little bit. And it's hard work. This program, I think everything that I had gone through up until then had prepared me for really diving deep. You know, you're going to get out of it what you put into it. And it's not just going to be, here's a prescription, or, you know, let me write down a couple things and then that's it. That's, you're healed. Healing is not a destination. And that is one thing that you said in your videos. And it stuck with me as far as that is something over the last, I'm about to be 29. So 5 years of my journey being in the autoimmune world and trying to figure it out was, I just want to be healed already. Like, I already want to feel better. I want to feel normal. I want to feel good in my body. And you're like chasing after that. Well, newsflash, you're healing always. It's not just going to be, okay, once I hit this in my healing journey and like this milestone that I've set for myself, okay, that's it. I'm done healing. Like, no, your healing journey, you know, everybody says it, it's not linear. And that's so true, because there are days where I feel like I have a good grasp on things. I feel good in my body. My symptoms are at bay. You know, it's not something that's just constantly in the back of my mind and I'm able to walk through my day with ease. And other days I'm like, feel like I'm drowning and it's hard. And, you know, but the work, and I think I was just so desperate for something different. I had tried all the things. I had seen the functional medicine doctors. I had done the dieting, the exercising, the medications, you know, you just hit those roadblocks every which way that you turn. And I made that connection as far as your nervous system is the foundation and everything else builds upon that. So if you have a rocky foundation to begin with, your house is going to fall multiple times. And you're going to think, oh, maybe I need to use different wood, or, you know, maybe I need to secure it a little bit better with more nails, or, you know, you're trying to find all of these other things to do to make it more stable, when really you need to look at the foundation, and that's the root cause. And making that connection with the mind and body is one. They are not different. And we are not taught that. And it's incredible. Because as I was talking about earlier, those limitations that we set on ourselves, you put yourself in a box and you tell yourself, this is how it's going to be. And unless you relinquish that hold on yourself and to say, no, I don't agree with that anymore. I don't believe that anymore. Like, I'm capable of so much more. You just know internally, and you have that instinct, like, this is not it. And this, you know, things have got to be different. So I've definitely learned a lot more about myself going through the program, having the tools now, still incorporating them into my routine and being more aware of my thoughts. Like I said earlier, it was just a constant stream of just negative. I was not confident in my body, and that's something I still struggle with, but I'm working on being kind to myself and having that self-compassion and knowing that everything that I've gone through has led me to here. And so I'm not starting from scratch. I have that experience. I have all of those feelings that I felt. And, you know, that's just kind of what continues to motivate me and push me to get to where I want to be and what that looks like. So it's a work in progress. I think it always will be. But as I'm peeling off the layers and discovering more about myself, it's like I'm lifting these weights off of my shoulder that I have placed on myself over the years, unintentionally or not knowing. And it feels good to kind of put that behind, set it down and move forward and grow and just continue to tend to my own garden and watch my seeds grow. So that's kind of where I'm at.
I'm loving all your analogies, actually. Like, analogies are or metaphors, whatever. There's such a good way to like speak to the subconscious, and like hopefully people listening really, really resonate. It really resonates for me. But I think what just comes across like so loud and clear is like your resilience and determination. It is not easy, as you said. Yeah. It's not easy. Not only is it not easy to like consistently have the discipline to implement new habits, and be reflecting on what did and didn't work and all these extra things that like you perhaps don't even have the energy to. But I think the most difficult of all, is the perspective shift, because Absolutely. That is, you know, at the crux of what we do in the program is focus on that identity piece and, our beliefs around our ability to heal. And that's the hardest work I think that like any human could do. And I was saying this in my Instagram stories today. It was like, and on a podcast yesterday, which is what prompted me to say it, they asked me like, you know, give us some examples of brain training. And I was like, brain training is easy. Like, I could give you an exercise and you could do, anyone could do it. And it's actually not difficult, but in order for it to work, you have to shift the identity. And that's the hard part. It's like planting a seed, like you said. That's quite easy. But remembering to water it every day and to feed it, like that's the identity shift. And like, it only grows if you do that. And so that is like the hardest work we can do as humans. And, you know, everyone who moves through HTA, like they do it in about 2 months, which is like kind of like expediting this journey that like takes people years and years and years, because like people want to get better. Healing is a journey, but let's like make some huge, massive moves as quickly as we can. And you mentioned something at one point. You said like, I can't remember how you said it, but you said like, in a sense, like you've shifted your perspective and you never thought you'd be able to think this way and view reality this way. Can you like talk about what that means? Because I know people are going to be like, okay, I hear this like energetic shift you're talking about. Like, I would love to have a weight lifted off. Like, that sounds cool. What is that perspective change? Like, what is happening in the mind and in the heart that you have now that you didn't think you could have before?
Yeah. I think that part of that comes with the anxiety piece that I have struggled with for as long as I can remember. And you have this little voice in the back of your head that is always, for me, it was always doubtful. And it was like, yeah, right. You're not good enough. You can't do that. You know, it was kind of my own little bully, because I didn't necessarily think that I deserved to live the life that I wanted. And, you know, I think that could be broken down even further into what led me to that belief. Like, why do I feel that way about myself? And so you have to do that deep diving into to see, like, at what point in my life did I feel that way? And then I accepted that as my own, you know, like, instead of, you know, every belief that we have was initially a thought and it enters into your mind. And if you're like, oh yeah, I resonate with that. Like, oh yeah. You know, like that, I could get down with that. And so then therefore that becomes your belief. And then guess what? Your body and brain will look for evidence in your environment to say, hey, you know, remember that thing that you were like, yeah, well, this is gonna kind of strengthen that a little bit. And so then it becomes hardwired, and then it just becomes, it becomes one of those beliefs. And so I think for me, it was just never feeling good enough. And I know exactly where it stems from. One of my previous relationships was not so healthy, and I was younger, and I just kind of, it was very toxic, and it shaped me in a lot of ways that I am still having to work through and kind of decode and decipher, like, did that come from me or was that from somebody else? Where did that thought and belief come from? Because I know at one point in my life, I did not feel that way about myself. And then one day you wake up and years have passed and you're just like, it's just constant worry and doubt and fear and anxiety. And it's just debilitating and it takes over. And that's where I said, you know, I just thought that that's how the rest of my life was going to be. Like, oh, I'm just riddled with anxiety, and that's it. And so realizing and having that shift of like, you are in control of your reality. And that starts with your mind. And I'm a very factual based person. And one of the reason why I knew that I could switch that perspective was in one of your videos. And I, correct me if I don't have the statistic right, but it was something along the lines of, you spend 48% of your day in your thinking mind. And so that's roughly half of your life that you are listening to this voice inside of your head, and it is dictating your every move, how you're feeling, what you're experiencing, you know, just your reality. And so it's amazing when you start to change that inner narrative and what that looks like. And it's hard to do, but you have to be aware and conscious of when that thought enters your brain of saying, you know what? No, I don't agree with that. And you swap it out with something else, and it takes work, right? It's consistency. But I think for me, that was the kicker of like, you know what? I am so, so tired of having this little voice inside of my head dictate my every move and just like feeling like crap all day long, feeling anxious. And then it manifests itself because you're telling yourself you're anxious, and then you have the heart palpitations, and then you have like, you can't breathe, you know, and breath work is another thing that has completely saved my life. You know, my boyfriend, he used to say, I could see when you start to spiral. And I wish in that moment I knew what I could tell you to like snap out of it, because he is so already aligned with his higher self. It's not even funny. And I learn something from him every single day. And I'm just like, why is it so easy for you? How is it so automatic? And that's just it. Once you practice that, and you are consistent with it, it is going to become automatic. It is going to become something that you don't have to think about. Taking those deep breaths first thing in the morning, setting your intentions, you know, what do you want out of today? And it starts from the moment you wake up to the moment you go to sleep. And it is as simply as that. You recognizing and acknowledging you are the writer of your own book. You are the author, and you are in control of what those pages look like and what that story looks like. And once you rip those pages out and you start over, or you start in the middle, wherever you are, and you recognize I'm in control and you truly believe it, that's when the story changes. And for me, I was ready. I was ready for a new, you know, new narrative, because I was so tired of being consumed by the negativity. And it was hard because it's like you're battling with yourself in those times. And you know, at one point, man, I was, you know, like I didn't used to have to struggle this hard just to get through the day and just to be happy, to be genuinely happy. And it's as simple as that. It's kind of like taking your power back. And so that was kind of my perspective change of, how am I going to get the life that I want? How am I going to live in the body that I want? What does that look like for me? Setting my intentions, doing the things that I know I need to do to make that happen, you know? And so it's what I've been working on. I'm doing cold shower April this month, and that was a new one for me. I hate being cold, but the benefits, you know, it's only a couple minutes in the morning. I've struggled with sleep, and that was one of the main reasons why I did that, was because of the spiking of the cortisol levels earlier on in the day. And cortisol is another one of those hormones that people freak out about and they think it's so negative. I mean, when it's chronically increased in your body, yeah, that's when you might need to start to worry about it a little bit. But increased cortisol on the daily is normal and healthy and needed to kind of regulate that sleep cycle. And so I've been doing that, kind of increases your blood flow, increases your internal body temperature, gets you ready for the day. And the earlier that cortisol spikes, as the day goes on, it converts itself into melatonin. And that's, of course, the sleep hormone. So I'm very, you know, all about the science. And that was one thing that I loved about your program, was not only was it just this superficial talk of like, okay, watch this video, do the work, you explain the reasons behind why you're doing the work and really making that connection of like, this is what's going on a physiological level in your body when you're doing these things, and how much of an impact just your words and your thoughts play a role in that in your everyday. And I don't think I ever made that connection. Like, you know, I've been told like, be careful what you say, be careful what, you know, what you're speaking. And it's just, I always think about the plant analogy. I'm an awful plant mom, and my best friend thinks that I'm going to get the hang of it. And so she gives me clippings of her little plants, you know, and I've successfully killed every single one of the ones that she's given me, but I'm working on speaking life into them and talking to them. And it just, that study, you know, like, you have the plants that don't have those words of affirmations, and then you have the ones that do, and they're like blossoming and thriving. And then the other ones are like dead, and you're like, what's going on here? And so, yeah, just, it's all about how you speak to yourself. And for me, I was not speaking to myself kindly. And so it starts with self-compassion for me and moving forward from that. So
I know that everybody wants the secret sauce. They want to know exactly what I did to go from bedridden to entrepreneur, mom, wife, happy and thriving. They want to know how to ignite the hope again, where to turn, and how to spend their very, very limited energy. And my goal in giving you these podcast testimonials is for you to truly understand that you can do the work too, that you are not alone. And as there is hope for all the people that I bring on the podcast with these amazing transformations, there is hope for you. I hope that in listening to the testimonies of my students, you feel inspired and reignited and more focused than ever before. But if you are looking to have the same story as not only myself, but all of my beautiful students who come on the podcast as testimonies that you can heal, then it is your turn to take the leap and join the Health Transformation Accelerator. In my signature 2-month program, I handhold you for more than 50 days from bedridden to thriving, from sick to healthy, and from hopeless to full of hope. I take you through my signature curriculum, the famous program that every single one of my students is talking, sharing, and raving about, alongside live coaching you on Zoom calls and chatting to you daily on WhatsApp. There is not a single program on the market right now that offers this kind of tailored support. Alongside everything shared, you also receive weekly homework feedback to ensure that you are moving forward and reaching your goals. We are a results-driven program, so you are guaranteed results if you do the work in the program. If you're looking to take the leap and you're ready to stop listening to the stories, but to be one of the stories, then make sure to head to the link in the show notes, or go ahead and go to faithashenden.com/coaching and get in on this May cohort, you guys. This is your chance to change your life once and for all.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's so profound. And I just think, yeah, that's good clarity because, you know, people who want to heal are looking at other people who have these testimonies and they're like, yes, but what are you thinking? Or how are you dealing with the battle? Because I think, you know, all of us who've been in that boat, the inner turmoil, like fighting with yourself, like really resonates with me because I can relate to that to like in my past story. Like it is just like that little annoying voice, like just like freaking out or just incessantly in the ear about projecting the worst case scenario and you being like, shut up. And you're like, why am I arguing with myself inside? And it's so frustrating. And we're not given a manual on like how to combat that. It's like, is everyone doing this? Or like, does someone have like my husband is the same. Like we talked about this. Like he said to me last night, he's like, I only have one tab open when I'm doing something. And if you try to bring another tab, the first one will crash. So there's only ever one narrative. There's no like arguing. There's no anxiety. There's no like, oh yeah, that must be nice. But you know, it really becomes a struggle and, we listen to it. And when we listen to that voice, it becomes our reality because our reality is really just what we focus on. Like, and we can go into a wormhole about it. And we do in HTA, but it gives you that perspective shift. And I think controlling that inner dialogue, and which is part of that identity shift, is so incredibly hard. Like, especially like kind of at the beginning of the program, everyone's like, well, what happens now? Like it won't shut up or it sends me into an anxiety attack or whatever. So when you were going through that in the program and like shifting into this perspective, like what are some of the tips of what you did in order to control that dialogue?
Absolutely. Well, first things first, I was 100% transparent with my boyfriend and my close friends and my family, as far as this is the journey that I'm venturing on right now, and I need your support. And this is what it looks like. So setting those clear expectations of what is needed, you know, like I don't need all the extra stuff right now. I just need you to love me and support me through this and be a listening ear as I'm working through, you know, deconstructing my entire belief system, basically, which is overwhelming.
No big deal. Just deconstructing my entire belief system.
but it's needed and it was necessary and it was time. It was time because those beliefs were ruling my everyday. So having that constant support system and my boyfriend, you know, like I said, he's light years ahead of me as far as just, he's just like, you know, the word anxiety never crosses my mind. I don't even allow it to be a thing. And I'm like, I wish that I could get there. And he's like, you can, just don't think about it. And I'm like, okay, if it were only that easy. And then you start to realize, okay, I asked him because one of our exercises was to change that inner dialogue and what that looks like and to stop using specific words and to trade them out with something else. And so I told him, I looked him in the face and I said, I want you to call me out in a nice way and say, hey, I don't really like the way that you said that. Let's change it up a little bit. And so he gave me some examples of what I can use, you know, as I'm going through my day and things that I normally would say, oh, I'm just exhausted. And he'd say, how about we say, oh, I'm just ready for my second wind. And just simply changing that narrative alone changes things, right? Because then once you're like, man, I'm exhausted, then you start, you know, having all these other things pop up and you're like, oh my gosh, I still have to do this. I have to do this. And then you start getting anxious and you're like, oh my gosh, I have so much left to do. And it's just like, no, you get to do those things. It's not a have to, but a get to. And that's one of the main takeaways that I've gotten from my boyfriend. But working through that, and you know, it's not easy. You have to hold yourself accountable, whatever that looks like, putting sticky notes around the house. Or for me, I have a word wall and just constantly going back to what goal I have set for myself and what that looks like and how I'm going to get there. And also knowing that you are the conscious observer of your thoughts. You are not your thoughts. And so having that and knowing that your body its job is to protect you. That's the whole function of the nervous system, right? You have your fight or flight and you have your rest and digest. The reasons I have all of my issues that I do with sleep and gut and acne and everything is because my body has never been allowed to rest and digest properly because my sympathetic nervous system has overridden everything. It's just been in the driver's seat and it's time for it to take a back seat and let the parasympathetic do its job. And so having those facts and knowing the function of the nervous system and what it's intended to do, we go back to the man cave days and or the caveman days, and you talk about what were your initial instincts. You hear some rustling of leaves in the bushes. You're like, oh my gosh, is that a lion? And then like, you know, a rat or a chipmunk or whatever pops out. And so like your body's amping up and getting ready and preparing you for this lion to jump out. And what are you going to do? Are you going to stand there and fight it or are you going to run? And so if your body is constantly in that state and your thoughts are constantly in that direction of like, we got to run, we got to fight, we got to go, you know, like, yeah, you're going to be anxious. You're going to have those moments of not feeling like you're connected with yourself. And so knowing all of those things and that my body is simply just trying to protect itself, as you're deconstructing your beliefs, what I struggled with was having that voice saying, oh my God, what are we doing? It's like sirens going off in your head. And it's like, turn back now. Like, we can't leave our safe zone. And it's like, no, I need to get out of this zone. It is not safe for me here. And recognizing that and telling myself the reasons why I'm doing what I'm doing and essentially talking myself through each step to say, hey, this is the end goal. These are the steps we're taking to get there. This is what is required. And I know that you're just trying to protect me. And I appreciate you for that. But you need to kind of let up a little bit on the reins. You know, you need to kind of let me do what I need to do and then come in when you're needed. And so you kind of talk to yourself in a different way instead of just constantly being at battle and at war with your body, which, by the way, you can't heal a body that you're at war with, which is another huge, you know, key piece to all of this. Like, you just recognize. And that's the hardest thing, is that initial thought. I think that's what it starts with, recognizing your thought process and then stopping it in its tracks and changing the direction, right? We're not going that way anymore. And so having the support that I needed for my friends, my family, my boyfriend, knowing internally how desperate I am to do this work and then doing it. You have to make that commitment with yourself because, like you said, anyone can watch a video. Anyone can take notes on it and be like, oh yeah, you know, like I'm going to do this, but you fall out of practice with that. And if it's not embedded into your everyday routines, you're not going to see the progress. You're not going to, you know, you're going to sit there and wonder, why am I not healing? Why am I not getting the same results as somebody else? Well, what are you doing different? If you're constantly doing the same thing every single day, you're going to get the same results. And so it just starts little by little, and it can be overwhelming at first. There's a lot to it. But once you make that commitment to yourself, like, I make a promise and I stick to it. And that's how I've always been. And so I knew going into this program, I wasn't just going to half-ass it. I was going to give it my all. And everybody around me knew that. And so they had to understand where I was at in my journey, not make me, you know, because I'm already making myself feel bad enough. I'm the people pleaser. I want to make sure that I'm there and taking care of everyone else. But this time specifically, with my intentions, was set for me to take care of me and put myself first and what that looks like. And it was hard because I had those battles of, you know, like, so-and-so needs you right now. And it's like, no, you need you right now. You can't be there for other people if you can't be there for yourself and if you're not giving yourself what you need. And so I think making that commitment going into this program, having those intentions and knowing, okay, what is it to you? What does this mean to you? Is it just going to be another one of those, oh, we'll just take it, go with the flow, see how it goes? Like, no, I need this. And so I did it. And I'm continuing to work at it every single day until it becomes my new normal.
I'm just like buzzing so hard listening to you because I can, like, you know, you're talking me through this process that is so hard. is so hard. So few people not only understand that, buy into it, but implement it. Like, there's so many steps there that you had to take, and people shout this information from the rooftops, but sometimes you have to hear it 4,000 or 4 million, I don't know, times. And even then, if you don't believe that it's going to have an impact, you're not going to do it. There's so much that you've mentioned that like ties into making it work. Like, and it's funny because people will say like, but what did you do? Just like sum it up in one sentence. And I'm like, I don't know how to do that because and that's what I love to ask you, like, because you're so right. And I'm buzzing because, you know, you said, like when I commit to something, I do it. And I think like you're such a good representation of like what it takes to do the work, because if you're going to commit to it, then you can come out 2 months later and say the things that you're saying. And it's like, you really did it. Like you did the thing. And I think I've said this in a podcast before, and I know I said it in HTA, but you know, I learned in my studies that only 4% of people even want to take radical responsibility for their healing. So yeah. It's not like 4% do, 4% right. want to. So, you know, we feel like it's more because I feel like I'm creating this little like corner on the internet of people who want to, and I'm grateful for that. But compared to the population, you know, at large, that's a small percentage. And then even still of the people who want to, not everyone signs up for my program. And even within my program, not everyone gets the same results. And it all comes down to, like you said, these boundaries that you set, your discipline, because we know motivation is fleeting. I mean, you know, having a group hybrid type coaching container is helpful for motivation because we've got daily WhatsApp. Like you were mentioning stickies and word wall. Like I remember all the pictures everyone said their inspiration, and certainly having community is extremely beneficial and expedites the process. But a lot of people just like don't do the work. And so I think that that was like such a beautiful explanation, like observing your thoughts as the key and then being like, nope, we're not doing this anymore. And then believing that it's actually going to work, which is why I love to bring the science into it, because I feel like, you know, some people really resonate with like the spirituality, manifestation, law of attraction or whatever. So that's a, you know, we talk a little bit about that. I'm more of a like neuroscience person. So it resonates with me. So we touch a little on that. I studied neurolinguistic programming. So we touch a little bit of on the subconscious, and we touch, you know, and it, there's so many different ways to explain why this works. But the first step is like having the education and understanding that it works, and then understanding the nervous system and that it works. And then that kind of brings me to my next question for you. So you know, you say you've spent, and as many of us, probably everyone listening has, spent the majority of your life in this sympathetic dominant place. Since doing HTA and like having, you know, everything that you're sharing with me, which is just like lighting me up to hear, having this complete and total like healing perspective shift and approach to life in and of itself, do you feel like you've had that shift in the nervous system? And if so, what physiological impact has that had on you?
Yeah, I definitely have had that shift. And for me, I touched a little bit on it earlier, but not only is it implementing everything that you have set out for us with the tools and all of that, and not only believing that it's going to work, but then you look for that evidence, right? And you try to solidify those new beliefs that you want for yourself. And for me, everybody, I think at one point they want to believe it, or they want to see it in order to believe it. And so you're doing the work, you're trying to figure out, you're checking in with yourself, like, how do I feel today? What's going on? I can't remember if it was week 3 or 4, but that's why I want to talk about the trauma work that is associated with your nervous system regulation. Because going into this program, I had thought that I had already healed part of the trauma that came back up. So I was recreating some of my goals for myself. And one of those was to go back to boxing. I took boxing the month that I was diagnosed with my autoimmune condition in 2018. And when I tell you I was obsessed, I was going 4 to 5 times a week. And it was like 4:35 o'clock in the morning. And I am not a morning person. But at that time in my life, I was in a very toxic relationship, and it was the only thing that I really truly had that allowed me to just like shut my mind off and feel free and feel at one with myself and like let off that energy. And I was obsessed with it. I loved it. I felt great afterwards. I couldn't wait for my next boxing class. And since, you know, my autoimmune condition, it started with my arms. It felt like I had been doing arm day for literally like 24/7 nonstop. That's what the sensation was. You know, you go to the gym after a long time and you feel sore. It was that soreness feeling, but on a deeper level, because my muscles were literally eating themselves. So I was terrified to ever put myself back into that a situation that I was in when I first flared, because I believed that I had done that to myself. And so this trauma popped back up as I'm doing this work, and it was an out-of-body experience. Never in my life have I ever gone through what I went through. And I just remember after I changed one of my goals to going back to boxing, my subconscious brought all of those old feelings back to life. It brought me right back to that place where I was at that time in my life and how I felt about myself. And I tell you, I felt lower than dirt. I felt unwanted, unlovable, you know, just the lowest I've ever felt in my entire life. And so I'm having these feelings start to creep back in. Guess what? They were stored in my body. So of course they're still in there. You got to let them out. And I was being really, really ugly to my boyfriend. And I knew in the moments as I'm like saying things to him and doing things like, this is not you. This is not you. Like, why are you treating your person like this? Like, this is not okay. And I could tell that I was hurting him, and like, I couldn't stop myself, and I didn't recognize it and put it together that like, oh my gosh, this is my trauma resurfacing. It's this old version of me that is trying to take control again and trying to like, that's what it felt like. And I was fighting for my life again. And I just remember one night this was it. I had been super ugly to him. Couldn't understand why. I felt super disconnected from myself. And I was making dinner and we were talking and there was some stuff that happened. And I had to excuse myself because I knew that if I continued down that path, like I was truly going to hurt him with my words. And I just went into my room and it was like 7:30 at night. And I'm like, I don't care. I'm going to bed. Like, I need to get away. I need to get out of this situation because I'm not doing anything good right now. And so I just go into my room and I just like immediately start bawling my eyes out. I'm just crying and crying and crying. I'm like, this is it. You just ruined the best thing that has ever happened to you, because why? I didn't know why I was being so mean. And he comes in and he just holds me. And he's like, I'm here. I'm here with you. I'm here for you. Whatever you're going through, we're going to get through it together. And I just was like sobbing into his arms and feeling like I've never had that before in a relationship. And it brought up, you know, we talked through what was going on. That's when I put the pieces together of like, oh my gosh, this is my old trauma. You know, I'm feeling unwanted, unlovable, all these things. And so my brain is like, all right, well, we're going to prove it to you then. And that's why I was pushing him away and why I was being so ugly to him, because then I could at least say, you know, you're right. You're not wanted. You're not lovable, you know, like, and your mind can play tricks on you. And it was playing tricks on me, and it was bringing up that trauma. And I knew I was so desperate to release it, because that old version of me that I had held on to for so long. And I remember distinctly like words that my ex said to me that just completely struck my soul, like my core, and just broke my heart. And I believed what he said. And so in that moment, I was releasing all of that. And it literally felt like at one point, this black cloud just like exiting my heart. It just, and like me sitting there and just releasing that and cutting it off and letting it go and saying, I do not resonate with this person anymore. You are free to go. You do not hold space inside of me, and I let you go. And at that point, I think it was a pivotal moment in my journey, my healing journey of, okay, this is what it feels to do the work and to see the benefits. And at that point, I felt like I could breathe and take a deep breath in for the first time in years, literal years. You talk about abundance and what is available to you, and your breath is key. That is how we immediately, and this is from one of your podcasts that you had early on. I started listening to them before I even got into the program because I was like, I want to know a little bit more about Faith and what's, you know, what she stands for, because I felt so connected and you resonated with me. And so breathwork was it. That was the key for me and how important that is. And I'd never put two and two together. You know, my boyfriend would say, you need to breathe. You just need to breathe. And I'm like, I want to punch you in the face when you tell me to do that, because it's not that easy. And it is that easy. And once you do it and then you feel those immediate effects, doing the breath work, taking the breath in through the nose, inhaling, you know, you want to inhale for what, 3 or 4 seconds, and your exhale needs to be twice as long. And on that exhale is when you get into that parasympathetic nervous system state. And so it's immediate. That's what I do first thing in the mornings. I do my breath work. And as I'm breathing, I'm feeling that energy move within my body, and I'm telling myself and I'm visualizing, okay, we're taking a deep breath in, and all of that good, positive energy is entering into my body. And as I'm breathing out, you're releasing the negative, and you're just able to set it aside and push it out. And so I'm visualizing this breath bringing life into me and just kind of cleansing and letting go of that bad air that's in within me. And so I'm setting my intentions for the day. What do I want out of today? Where do I want my mind to be? What do I want to focus on? Is it being more present in the moment? And that's another thing for me. Being present in the moment before the program looked completely different than what it does now. And that's as simple as shifting that mindset of, okay, a good friend of mine the other day, we were talking and he was like, you know, when I'm in the present moment, I'm thinking about me 20 years from now. And in 20 years, I want to look back on my life at this time. And what am I going to remember? And this is one of those times that I'm going to remember. And it's just bringing yourself fully into that moment of what's going on around you, engaging your senses, and really truly living for what that moment was intended to be, and not all the extra clutter and everything else. You just shut it all off and you're just there. And so I've been able to get to that state more. I've been able to meditate and visualize and set my intentions and feel those internal shifts. I'm sleeping better. I'm walking through my days with more ease. You know, anxiety is becoming less and less of a topic in my everyday because I just don't feel that way anymore. And when I do start to feel that way, I connect myself with my breath. And I work in a hospital. I'm an occupational therapist. And so I need to be able to be with my patients, right? And how do I do that? I set my intentions before I go into each room. I ask that God be there with me to give me what I need to be able to connect with them. And it's not always easy, right? Depending on the situation and everything, you're in the hospital. So there's so many different reasons why you can be there. And you never know what journey another person is on. You can look at them and you can make your assumptions and you can think, you know, I made a post on my Instagram the other day just about, you know, you see these pictures that I posted and what does it look like to you that Hannah's living her best life? Well, little do you know, she's been struggling to get through the day, you know, with my new diagnosis and changing my diet and all that stuff. I mean, it's been hard and you don't feel good in your body and that affects so many different aspects of your everyday, but connecting yourself and being in the present moment with your patients, I take some deep breaths and I get back to me in my center. And then I walk in and I connect with them. And so doing that before my meals to help aid in digestion, which I have gut issues. It's just being more present with my meals, chewing my food more, creating an environment of safety within my meals has been, it's just insane how much it's changed everything. So I don't know, the changes that I've seen, have been exactly what I wanted for myself. And I think it's also allowed me to know and have that belief of like, I am in control and I can do this. So.
And are you boxing again?
I'm not boxing again yet. I am scheduling my appointment. Me and my boyfriend are going to go together. I was waiting on my next paycheck. I told you I've got my boxing gloves on the way now. And so I'm gearing up. I'm gearing up to go back Wow. and do it. And through the work of this program, I don't feel the way that I initially, like when I first wrote that goal down, I just remember inside of me was just like complete fear. It was like, oh my God, you're really, you know, like, are you sure? Are you sure that you want to do this? And I knew because I wrote it down and I had thought long and hard about it. Yeah, I want to. I want to get back into doing that. And it can look different this time. And it doesn't have to be scary. You don't have to have that negative fear attached to it. It can be enjoyable. It can be something that brings you that good, feel good feeling again. And so even though I haven't done it yet, I know that I'm going to feel really good after and I'm going to become addicted with it again. And it's just going to be something that I look forward to. And so yeah, I'm taking steps to get there.
That is incredible. I mean, I just have so many, I'm so inspired and so touched. Like I love listening to you talk and like, I just know so many people are going to be inspired by this. And I wanted to touch on the trauma piece. Mm-hmm. I remember, first of all, I remember you obviously, well, for those of you who don't know, I mean, I've talked about WhatsApp, but we obviously have a WhatsApp group in HTA and we're like chatting daily. And it's a really important space to be able to like, cause you're like going through this whole journey in 2 months, like you're going through a lot and it's like really heavy, really fast. Not necessarily in a bad way, but in a heavy way mm-hmm. as your process. So it's nice to have somewhere to be like, hey, good thing, hard thing, obstacle, win, whatever it is, to other people who like understand what you're going through and are on the same journey. So I remember you sharing that and how touched everyone was and like how inspiring it is to be in a community where like other people are having these wins or having these experiences and releases. But it's an interesting point because, you know, the subconscious, and you touched on this, is always trying to release this stored trauma. And so whenever anything in our life reminds us of the initial event, it'll bring up the trauma. And when we, because you mentioned this earlier, you are trying to listen to your body. When we are stuck in this place of danger, this hypervigilance state, we are not listening to our body. We're suppressing it because we're fearful. And so when the subconscious tries to release the trauma, it usually manifests in physical symptoms because that energy isn't being released. And so it's like this bound potential energy, which causes tension and then causes pain. Mm-hmm. And so what's really interesting about your experience is like you put in all this work to build this relationship with your body, and because feelings are the language of the body. So you really want to listen to your feelings and like do the work, which is incredibly difficult. And your body responded so well to that. Like that work allowed you to not suppress that, but to release that. Mm-hmm.
Absolutely.
And so many people want to do that. Like people want to be free of pain emotionally or physically, but until you do this work, you don't have that communication to understand what the body's trying to tell you. It's just going to manifest in this muted response, which is usually chronic illness of some kind. Mm-hmm. And so there's lots of literature out there that talks about how trauma gets stored in the body, how emotions or energy and motion get stored in the body. And until you create an environment of safety and that relationship between the conscious and the subconscious and the body, which is essentially the unconscious, right? And you strengthen that, all the work that you've done mm-hmm. that we're talking about, you don't even really have the opportunity to release it. And releasing it is so crucial to moving forward. I said on a podcast yesterday, I was like, I think if I had to sum it up, it would be that everything you want is on the other side of that which is not serving you. Mm-hmm. And to me, that means everything you want, so your healing, your abundance, your prosperity, is on the other side of releasing that which is not serving you. In order to release that which is not serving you, you have to have a sense of safety within the body so you can approach it and so that you can come back to your home base once you've released it. Mm-hmm. Because releasing Absolutely. It doesn't feel good. Like, obviously, like you said, you know, you didn't feel good at all. You recognize that because your body was going back. It's, you know, trauma essentially like freezes your physiology in that event. And you experience yeah. physiology when you're releasing it. So it's not easy. But when you have that anchor, that sense of safety that you have built, because obviously, you know, that was a few weeks into the program. So you'd already kind of built that anchor, that breath, that everything, that safety. Mm-hmm. And I think that was just like, that's so profound. And I just know so many people, you know, I launched my trauma release course. And by the time this is aired, people have already moved through that. Mm-hmm. So many people were interested. 10,000 people in 1 week signed up. People want to release their trauma. And so I'm so glad you brought yeah. that up because I think it's so important. Like, there's no secret sauce. This is the sauce. You have to yeah. create that sense of safety. You have to build that relationship with your mind, with your body. You can't suppress those feelings. Like, and yeah.
you have to feel those yes. feelings. And I think that is scary for some people.
Yes.
You know, they're like, gosh, going through it, they don't want to go through that. They don't want to feel that way. So they suppress it. Well, guess what? The longer you suppress it, you're just going to continue that cycle. It's not going to go anywhere and it could get worse. And so until you sit, you have to literally sit with those feelings and feel them and allow yourself to feel them. And that goes back to the safety piece. In order to feel those feelings, you need to feel safe, right? Because if you don't feel safe, you're just going to push it away. And you're going to say, no, 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 I can't go there. And so you have to set yourself up for success when moving through those emotions. You have to allow yourself to feel them and to know for the greater good of like where you're headed in your healing journey and to release that trauma, this is what is needed. And it is hard. It is scary. I don't know that I would have been able to get through it without the support of my boyfriend and to feel safe. Like, he allowed me to feel safe in that moment to say, I am here for you. And after everything, even after I was so ugly to him, so mean to him, and I was able to talk things out with him in that moment, he looked at me and he said, you need to continue doing your program. And I was like, I'm going to continue. It's allowing me to work through all of this stuff. But he's just always been my number one support. And so I'm super grateful for that. And I think, you know, for anyone going through this at whatever capacity, I've always been an open door. And so reach out to me. It's really important, not only the safety piece, setting your environment and self up in those moments to feel those feelings and then to be able to allow yourself to truly feel them, because only then you're going to be able to release that. And I know a lot of people struggle with, okay, well, what are you doing to do that? What does that look like? For me, it's that visualization piece. It's that meditative state, whatever that looks like for anybody. If you've never meditated before, well, all you got to do is practice, you know, whatever, you know, wherever you need to be, whatever that looks like. I like to set like frequency, different frequencies on my Spotify and on my way to work, having that kind of energy move through my body and then visualizing walking in a space of health and what I want for myself. And so as I'm releasing this trauma, I essentially envision this highway connected straight from my core, my gut, all the way up to my brain, right? And sometimes you have those roadblocks, or you're under construction, or you have to take a detour, right? And so hitting those roadblocks, some people just turn around and are like, all right, well, I guess that's just how it was meant to be. Like, no, you've got to find a new route. You have to create a new way to get to that goal, to what you're doing, to reconnect. And so that's kind of the way that I visualize that trauma, those feelings, those sensations moving through. Yeah. You're going to hit those roadblocks. Guess what? That's your body trying to protect you. That's your mind trying to play those tricks and games on you. And you've got to be strong enough to say, no, we're still going forward. We're still moving through. Because we're going to release this. And so you kind of have to talk yourself through that in whatever way you need to visualize that. You know, I'm all about the analogies. And so it's essentially letting yourself out of this box that you've put yourself in. And for years and years and years, when I was in that toxic relationship, I started journaling after and trying to put together the pieces and work through my trauma. And that was one of those analogies that I had, that I felt like I was trapped in this box, and that that's all I had for myself. And I didn't have the key, right? Like I'm literally locked in this box. And the whole time the key was in my pocket, right? And I was able to let myself out. I was just scared and didn't know and didn't want to. And, you know, so you have to internally have that drive and motivation to put in the work and to know it's not going to be easy, but you're going to do it, because releasing that is going to continue on this journey, and you've got to do something different. So
you are so inspiring to listen to. You really are. You definitely have a gift. You do. Oh my gosh. I was something that I was going to ask. Oh, about the support. Yes. Okay. So yes, support is so critical. And that's why I wanted to reiterate, like a lot of people are going to be like, well, your boyfriend obviously sounds awesome. Not everybody has a boyfriend like that, but, that is definitely why we try to create community within HTA, because mm-hmm. not everybody has someone who understands. And sometimes like that's just part of life and seasons, you know, like in this season, perhaps your family members don't understand or your friends don't understand. And because they haven't been there, perhaps they do. And because we can't always control that, and support is absolutely critical for success with this, we have this community component because we can lift each other up because we're all on the same journey together. And discouragement is normal, difficulty, obstacles, all of this is like part of the human experience. Like you said, like the roadblocks. So like, you know, that is the huge emphasis of why like people are like, can I work with you one-on-one? I'm like, it's just not the same. Like, it's not the same as having a community of people you can go to on a daily basis. Like, yeah, it might not be your boyfriend next to you. If you can, that's ideal. But, you know, just having someone that you can talk to about it, even in, especially in the hard moments, or even to celebrate the wins, is so, so, so important. Before we kind of round things up, I would love to hear, to put you on the spot, what you would have to say to someone who's on the fence about joining HTA.
So I kind of touched on that a little bit earlier about how I heard about it, I looked into it, and I was on the fence. But I think it's all about your experience, what led you up until this moment right now. And if you feel ready, and you have to be ready, because as you said earlier, 4%, right, of people want this. And then out of that 4%, how many people actually do it? You have to know your own strengths and weaknesses. You have to be able to know that it's going to be hard. And there have been many times, even myself, that I wanted to throw in the towel and be like, man, that just, you know, maybe it's not the right timing. You have to know that your mind is going to be against you at the beginning of this journey, and that it's going to be really hard to break through those cycles of what has been instilled in, you know, like everything that you've gone through up until now. You've strengthened those pathways. You've got to be able to know it's going to be you against your mind, but at the end, you're going to be the one in control of that. And so not only is it a financial commitment, we all know that, signing up for it. If that's not enough of a motivator, you have to know that it's not just going to be this, here's a silver platter of everything handed to you, and this is going to be it for you, and there you go, enjoy. Like, no, you have to put in the work. And if you're not at the time, like if you're not in the space right now in your life to be able to dedicate that to yourself, then don't do it, because you're only going to be holding yourself back. You're going to be holding people back in your group. You know, you have to know that you're ready to make that commitment. And it may be scary. It may be daunting. It may be overwhelming. You may think that you're not going to be able to do it. But if there's 1% of you that feels like I can do this, then do it, because it's going to change your life. And even if you're going to have your cohort, you're going to have those people that you're going to create that relationship with to lean on for support throughout this time. Talk to me, you know, if you're not necessarily sure and you're like, man, I don't know, like I'm here to help anyone through this, because I feel like I can walk you through that. And I've talked a lot of people off the ledge before, so just do it. If you feel like it's where you're meant to be right now, you know, check in with yourself, do the reflection, sit on it for a minute. If it's something that you just can't stop thinking about, then maybe that's your next step. So I can only say good things about it. I know, like I said, it's one of those things you're going to get out of it what you put into it. And so you have to be able to stop with the excuses. Excuses are going to either make or break you in this program. And it's going to be the sign as to whether or not you truly are ready to make that change and to be, you know, to do different in your everyday. And so those excuses are there as a protective mechanism to stay in your safe space. Well, that safe space that you're so, you know, scared to leave might not be your true safe space. It might just be this belief that you've had for so long, you feel comfortable, you know, whatever. If you are wanting to change anything about the way that you're living your life, then do it. And that's what it's going to take. Just do it.
You are so brilliant, so insightful, determined, resilient, just like so many things. Like, I'm sure everyone has that opinion, even if they're not actually watching you on the video, just hearing you speak with so much confidence and authority. I mean, it's just so apparent in everything that you say that you are someone who's done the work. And the point that's gotten across as well is how difficult it is. And I appreciate that so much, because that is one thing I can't do for someone else. Like, I can't make them do it. You know, like I can, like you said, like I can give you the knowledge, the support, the coaching, the community, like all those things, but I can't make you do it. I can't make you wake up every day and, right, and tell your thoughts no, you know, like, so you, right, you've done the hardest part. So few people do it. So many people want it. And I'm going to include your information, whatever you're willing to give out, in the show notes, of course. But yeah, I just want to thank you for sharing your story and instilling hope, because this is evidence to other people who are not at this place in their healing journey that they can too. Like, I truly believe that everyone can. Everyone has the same infrastructure. Everyone can awaken to this infrastructure, their true self. And it's unlearning, you know, all this other crap that's holding us back. Normal human responses that are holding us back, and just evolving past that. And so, yeah, I just want to thank you so, so much. It's honestly just brought me a lot of joy to listen to you and hear your words and to be like just part of your journey, because you're an incredibly intelligent, inspirational person. So thank you.
I want to thank you for allowing me to have the opportunity to share my story. And I know it's going to inspire so many people. So wouldn't be here without you. And so I'm grateful that I found you and made that decision and went all in, because my life is forever changed because of you. So I want to thank you for all of the work that you've done, everything in your life that has led you up to these moments. I know, you know, I've listened to your journey and what you went through. And so what you are doing is incredible. And so don't stop.
Thank you.